Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Florida Grown Femmes. I'm Janet.
I'm Sage.
And this is an extra special episode because this is the first time that Sage and I are in the same room recording together. If you guys don't know, or if you're just new to our show, Sage lives in Germany and I live in Florida, and we're both from Florida, which is how we know each other. But Sage is visiting this next couple weeks, and I am just so excited to have my bestie back in the same zip code, same like area of town. Like, it's amazing. And before, I guess we'll kind of just jump right in because we're really excited to talk about this. But so this week we are talking about, is she allowed to say that? And Sage and I, have actually planned a lot of our podcast topics.
Right.
We sat down when we first started this and we thought about what we wanted to say, but this wasn't originally a topic that we were going to take on or we thought about, but after last week, it felt like the next natural step. Mm-hmm. Is she allowed to say that comes from, so after our podcast episode, I went to Sage and I was like, you know, well, actually Sage was like, you know, in the episode, she's like, there's no repercussions for what she was saying and stuff. But I realized, you know, the podcast episode last week, if you didn't catch it, it's not a huge big reveal, but I admit that I'm not a virgin and I've had sex and stuff, and that there's now possible consequences for me saying that and admitting that, mm-hmm. Publicly. For those of you who may not aware, some of that's like, this might disqualify me from church leadership positions in the future.
Right.
And so we wanted to talk about that. And so if you're not familiar, like, with what I'm kind of talking about and stuff, or maybe you grew up in a church where was a little bit more liberal and stuff, this again is more towards the conservative evangelical denominations that we find this in. But, you know, women admitting that they've had sex, or the one that they are, one, not a virgin, or that they're having sex, that has some repercussions in the conservative world. My own friend, I know that this just happened in Bradenton, mm-hmm. like a couple years ago. I won't say her name, but my friend was on the worship team of a church, and she had been with her now husband. They've been together for like 10 years plus, like, right. From high school on, mm-hmm. and they got engaged and they lived together, and she had to get off the worship. She wasn't allowed on the worship team until they got married because they were living together, mm-hmm. living in sin, and mm-hmm. they couldn't have that represented in their leadership mm-hmm. team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, we've seen this in the church, but we've also seen it a lot in media, which is that there are more intense, it feels like more intense repercussions for women being honest and being truthful about their own stories, their own experiences, than what we see, like, the repercussions for men. And if Janet right. and I can be honest, we don't get it.
Yeah, like, we don't get it. Like, we don't get it. Like, I think, you know, Sage and I, when we were talking about this, it's like, you know, we don't, like, how, like, it, when, it happens often. Like, we're always, you know, we're very informed women. You know, I think we expect to come in contact with, you know, some sexism, or because we're more aware of it and stuff. But every once in a while, it just hits us in the face, and it's like, I wasn't ready. What do I do with that? Like, it came out of nowhere. So
and I will share, for me, it was a combination of, you know, the things Janet shared last week, but also, of course, we all know that Meghan Markle went on Oprah, and, I saw many people sharing their opinions or views about what Meghan Markle said. And I think what really shocked me was people making the statement that they just didn't believe her.
Yeah.
Which was really confusing to me, because it's like,
why? Why wasn't she, like, the only, like, you have no reason after, like, this Oprah interview. First of all, like, the people that won that are, like, saying this, like, I don't believe her, like, why? Like, do you know her? Like, what do you know? Like, how did you know? Like, how?
Well, and it's believe what? I mean, you don't believe that she experienced racism, or you don't believe that she was struggling with suicidal thoughts. That's a very personal thing to share. And the fact that people
question it immediately.
Feel that it's their right or their space to say they do or don't believe that. It's just like, no, that's her story. That's her truth. Like, it's not about belief or not, you know. It's very confusing to us why that's even a can even be a comment,
right? Because on the flip side, they're not questioning anything that Harry is saying. They're questioning Meghan is saying, and she's having to do. There's a lot of different things to unpack in that the interview and stuff. But one of the things was like, you know, she's like, yeah, I had written documentation about this person and like I was dealing with it. And people were like that, you know, that documentation came out the like post interview and people were like, it's probably fake. Like, what? Like hears the evidence that she said existed that corroborated her story. And you're like, bullshit, fake news. Like, what?
It's really extreme, isn't it?
Well, yeah, because you don't see people questioning men. Like,
nobody questioned Harry.
No one questioned Harry in the thought, like, that he was dealing with stuff. They're like, yeah, Harry, of course, is definitely dealing with stuff. Like, how could Meghan? Because I think the other flip side to it, too, is people can't possibly imagine that their dream could be wrong. Like, because people dream, I know I wanted to be Meghan Markle. I know. I was like, you know, there's that scene in Princess Diaries 2 where Anne Hathaway, they're like flipping through all the eligible royals. Yeah, yeah. And like, you know, there's Prince William. But I was like, I was like that bad boy. Like, Prince Harry. Like, you know, like I loved him and stuff. Like,
he turned out to be the rebel, didn't he?
Oh my God. Yeah, he was so the rebel. But also like, oh, rebel with a heart? Like, oh God. Like, speaking my language. But like, you know, it's, you know, people questioned Diana in the 90s and stuff when she came out in her book. She came out and said that there were all these things and people didn't believe her until the book came out later and is corroborated by her. And then The Crown has also now made people rethink everything. What they think about Diana and what she experienced. And also the other thing we touched on this. Another thing that's been flipped on the script is Britney's experience.
Yeah.
So it's Britney like, we're Spears. Flipping Diana, we're flipping Britney, and like, what is it? In 10 years, we're going to flip 15 years. We'll it on Meghan too and be like, oh, look, we were wrong. Like, no, she's been screaming it. Like, all of these women have been screaming loudly that they're having issues and no one's taking them seriously. Like, they're just, it's falling on deaf ears. And it's like another thing with like tone, like, a woman could be screaming and then someone would be like, okay, you need to calm down.
Right.
Like, and if you calm down, like, well, why aren't you taking this seriously enough? You should have said something. Like, there's this
no way to say it right.
Right. There's no way to say it right.
Yeah. It's hard. And it's hard as a woman. Again, as Janet and I said, you know, as women where we see this and go, why? Like, where does this come from? Where does this, you know, like, what, how is this still a thing?
Right. Because we know it's not, you know, we talked a lot about the church, but it's not just in the church. Mm-hmm. We have the example of the media. Like, I mean, you all know if you're shocked that we don't like Trump at this point, my God, like you're on the wrong podcast. Like, but not to go into it, but like, he's a great example of Trump didn't give a shit about what he said. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't have a filter. People specifically voted for him because he had no filter and says it like he is. Mm-hmm. But those same people have never said that about a woman. Mm-hmm. They have never praised a woman for saying it like it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the thing is that, it just kind of seems like in our society that men can say something without having and say something, not always do something, but the words don't matter.
Grab them by the pussy.
Yeah. And you know, he can basically admit to sexual assault and become our president. Mm-hmm. Fine, whatever. People voted for him.
You can joke about sexual assault. Yeah.
They were allowed to vote for him, but you know, in the same respect, there were no Janet could be on our podcast talking openly about just in general sex and her experience, and that could disqualify her from a leadership position in a church.
Yeah, I'm never gonna say, if I imagine saying grab him by the balls, like, I'm like,
it would have been way out before that.
Yeah, like, I would immediately be disqualified by the same people that are like,
yeah. And you know, and it's not just, this is not just a liberal conservative thing.
Yeah,
you know?
No, it's a female.
Although we do have the recent example of the passing of Rush Limbaugh, and I think a lot of people looked back on his career and the things that he said, and again, he had the power to say whatever he wanted in any way he wanted with minimal to no repercussions. He received the presidential, one of the highest honors in our country. Yeah,
Medal of Freedom.
One of the highest honors in our country. And if you are, you know, we're a Rush Limbaugh fan, that's not the point. The point is that if, you know, there are women in the same, what's the name of the conservative woman who speaks her mind? She gets way more crap than Rush Limbaugh ever did.
The Tory, not Tony, such the T.
Tony Lahren, that's her name.
Yeah, Tommy Lahren,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she got in trouble because she came out and said that she was it wasn't like she was pro-choice, but it was mm-hmm. like, yeah, I can't say anything about, you know, mm-hmm. regulating abortion when I say government get out and stuff. And she got canceled, basically. Wow. But Rush Limbaugh can say cigarettes don't cause cancer mm-hmm. and still stay on the air. And, like, no one questions that. Mm-hmm. Like, or even just, like, a crazy, like, Rush Limbaugh has said some crazy things. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't want to say, you know, he's Rush Limbaugh. That's why he was known as a shock jock.
Right, he and was.
He yeah. was a shock jock. Mm-hmm. He said shocking things. Yeah. That's why he was famous. And he got the Presidential Medal of Freedom for that, which is not something we typically see. Like, in reverse, we had Ellen DeGeneres get that, mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. got it because she was all about spreading love and compassion and stuff. Yeah. And this person mm-hmm. got it for saying, I mean, on the one hand, you can make the argument that, like, he really, you know, he loved his freedom of speech. Yeah, like, yeah. he pushed it.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with freedom of speech. That's yeah. definitely not what we're saying.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Here.
Thank you, us. Like, I think we can do this.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with freedom of speech. I think it's that
there's consequences.
Everybody doesn't have the same consequences for what right. they say. And that's really
right.
the issue.
Let's
here.
Say that again. There's not the same consequences for the same. Like, you can, there's different consequences for different people for saying.
And Tommy Lahren and Rush Limbaugh are actually really good examples of, you know, her getting canceled for saying something that people didn't agree with versus him. You know, it's just, that's just in the more conservative world. And of course, there are liberal examples as well. Yeah. And that's, again, that's not the point, liberal or conservative. It's more about what can women say and it's acceptable, and what can men say, and it, you know, it's just,
yeah, no,
not
I've
the
had,
same. It's not the same.
Well, no, I had an example. I mean, I left one of my marketing jobs. I worked for a major entertainment mm-hmm. production company, and I will never, like, the most, like, it's literally like a societal experiment where I basically, my VP and I had words with each other, mm-hmm. and it came back, like, we had words with each other. I wrote an email, and he told me, basically, that, like, it was super aggressive, and I brought him to the mat, and that he better, like, you know, I better not try to start anything with him, because I'll lose kind of mm-hmm. deal. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I sent this email thinking it was appropriate. Mm-hmm. You know, when mm-hmm. I showed it to every female, when I showed it to the VP of marketing,
yeah.
she was like, wow, this is great. Like, what did he say? And I was like, he told me never to bring him to the mat again. And every guy that read it was like, why were you so aggressive?
Wow.
Like, it was a 100% split between genders. There was no difference. It was every female looked at that email and was like, this was fine. Why? Like, what? This is a great mm-hmm. email. Every guy was like, wow, you came on so aggressive. And I'm like, why is it that, like, what am I saying mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. to women it's safe? Like, I'm cool. Like, it's fine. Like,
women,
it's not like
it. Yeah.
Women are like, yeah, this is fine. But, like, to a man, it was aggressive. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's an email, so it's
an
kind of
email
hard to,
with tones and stuff too and stuff. Right. But, like, again, like, that was the whole thing, was like, I only showed it to, but in email form to people, so it was like them reading it on first impression, and just like he did, and mm-hmm. the same. It was like men took it one way, women took it another, and which is the hardest thing. I think we kind of talked about this, like, again, like tone. Like, women have to work on their tone, like mm-hmm. all the time in their delivery, and mm-hmm. again, not saying that there aren't ways to be articulate and to get your point across mm-hmm. and to be respectful, mm-hmm. but women have to go above and beyond just mm-hmm. that to get the same amount of respect as men. Mm-hmm. At least I have found that in my career
mm-hmm.
Yeah. so far. And one of the main reasons, like, I have started my own business and I have my own company now, and mm-hmm. because I don't want to have to deal with having to adjust my delivery and tone or whatever because someone doesn't want to take me seriously.
Yeah,
but my male coworker could say the same thing mm-hmm. and it'd be brilliant, you know?
Of course, yeah. No, that's, I mean, and I think it comes back to this point of, you know, why women have to focus so much on what they say and why it's not just received as it is.
Yeah.
And how men have more, definitely more of a range of allowance, I would say.
Yeah.
For what they're allowed to say. And of course these are, this is of course generalizations, not every,
our personal opinions, yeah, our personal experiences. We, as you know, we haven't come at you with crazy facts and stuff like this.
No,
like,
and it's just what we sense and what we see and what we hear, you know, happening around us. It's the collection of other women's stories that we gather.
Yeah, and I think that part of what Sage is saying, like, we hear it, we believe it and stuff, and you may, you know, part of things that we get shocked with is, like, you may be totally agree with us, but you might also think we're crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that's the part, too, where if you're not a, that's when I don't know what to do with things. Like, if you're mm-hmm. unaware that there are issues like this, mm-hmm. like, this may, like, yes, this may tone thing, maybe this, like, you've never thought about what were this particular topic before. Mm-hmm. But, like, I was telling you, Sage, these last couple weeks, like, I've been a part of a small group where, right. I mean this as respectfully as I can, where I'm listening to these women that are older than me or my age that are out of touch, that mm. have literally said, like, yeah, I don't really, like, I didn't really get what the big deal was when Me Too was happening, but, like, now I kind of get it. Like,
right.
What? Like, what do you mean you didn't get it then? Like, that, like, is one of those moments where I'm, like, slapped in the face with, what the fuck are you talking about? And I don't know how to, those moments of, like, how, like, what am I supposed to do with that? Do I immediately try to educate you? Like,
the Me Too is a good example as well, because we, Janet and I were just saying that, think about how many women it takes who have been victims of sexual assault to actually get a man convicted or even in front of a judge.
Yes, preach.
I mean, it's not one-to-one. It's not one woman victim to one person who committed assault. It's like 80-to-1.
Yeah, literally 81. That's what we're saying. Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby. 81 women.
Yeah.
And that's just the women that came forward.
Of right.
Like, that's the thing. Like, Sage knows, like, facts about this mm-hmm. from, like, her profession and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's also just, I think, a lot of common knowledge. And not everybody reports. So those are the people that freaking reported.
Yeah.
And then also, so that's Bill Cosby, an extreme of literally 80 women. But Harvey Weinstein, like, mm-hmm. how many women over did it have to be to, like, corroborate, I can't say this word, like, with each other for it to be proven? It was multiple journalists, too. Yeah. Like, it took so many women to take down one man. And even now, like, cases we're seeing, I'm thinking, you're right. It's not like it's one. You never see a rape case where it's like one guy, one girl anymore. It's like one guy and three girls. Like, they have to build only, a pattern.
It was only the Kavanaugh case.
Yeah.
It was only the Kavanaugh case that I remember that went viral, or that was, you know, public and popular, where I remember it being one to one. But
that
even right now with
Cuomo
in New York. And it's several women. And he's not even going to step down. They're not even asking him to step down.
Oh, no, they've asked him to step down. The Democratic Party has asked him to step down. The state has asked him to step down. There have been calls. Like,
but there's no force to do it.
He's not the only way. There's, like, a big technicality with force of it and stuff. He has the state Senate has to convene. And then they have to do, I don't know what their majority is in New York to get him out, but the Democratic Party's already asked him to resign. That was last week and stuff, like, all of it.
So here's the thing, you know, you can have multiple women coming forward and they're still maybe
No one's taking, no, no one took them seriously when it was just one woman, that one aide that came forward. That was the whole thing. And I'm guilty of thinking, like, just one, like,
and that is a product of the, how many women does it take to really flip it?
Yeah.
And And all the stories of the gymnastics coaches.
Oh, there was my just,
there
God.
Was another one recently.
Yeah, the gymnastic ones, which were, that one's insane. That one is also, like, There's a documentary on Hulu. Hulu's got all the good documentaries about this. That one is insane how he was able to get away with that. Like, blatant videos and stuff just getting away with stuff. Girl, you're going to, you're right. There are so many cases. The Kavanaugh case, that one.
That one was only one, right?
Well, that was also the biggest, that was probably the biggest public opinion we've ever seen as a national, poll of, do you believe him or you believe her? And she had, for me, that was that whole trial, that whole nomination was the reason I was like, I need to get help, because I was getting triggered every day and I didn't know what PTSD, I wasn't diagnosed at this point, but I was experiencing anxiety and stuff listening to her story because it resonated so much with me. And I was like, look at all these people not believing her.
I mean,
there was nothing else that she could have given to make people believe. People always are like, well, where's your evidence? Like, bitch, you try to have evidence in the sexual assault case.
It's really hard. It's extremely difficult.
Yeah, it's not like a murder. Like, are you kidding me? It's not like a burglary. Like, are you kidding me? There's no fucking handprints on me. Come on now, Prue.
Oh my God, it's not a murder. That's hard, because that's the bottom line is why isn't one woman's voice enough? That's the whole bottom line point. Why isn't one woman's voice enough? Why does it take 80 or 30? And then there's the thing of women are just coming forward because it's a famous case and they want to be. I'm like, who wants to be
famous for this?
That Bill Cosby touched you inappropriately. Like, who wants to go down in history?
No one wants to be the person that took down Bill Cosby. Literally.
He was loved by many.
Everyone. Bill Cosby, honestly, if you, up until Bill Cosby is now Bill Cosby, if you told me a celebrity that was safe, I'd be like, Bill Cosby.
Right, could say the darndest thing.
The Cosby Show.
I'm shuddering now.
Oh my God, all the things. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
He was crazy. Yeah,
how many women does it take? And I think it goes back to this idea of first of all, why does it take more than one woman? And also, why, when there is only one woman, why don't we just believe her?
Yeah.
Why don't we just believe her? And if you can stand behind a man and believe that he didn't do it, then why can't you stand behind her and believe that he did?
Yeah, I think a lot of people hide behind innocent until proven guilty. Like, we are Americans. That's how our justice system is really, I feel, drilled into us.
Different. Innocent until proven guilty is different than saying, I just flat out don't believe you before I even saw the evidence.
Yes.
That's not okay.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, also comes back to the Meghan Markle thing of y'all didn't know, weren't there. You didn't see the evidence. How could you make a statement of I believe you or don't believe you?
Right. 100%.
And the thing is with we talked about Rush Limbaugh or whatever, you can disagree with someone's opinion, but not believing someone's experience is a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah. Actually, I was just thinking Piers Morgan did get in trouble. Piers Morgan actually just got in trouble on BBC or wherever he's at, not BBC or wherever he's at, because his co-anchor called him out 2 days after the Meghan Markle interview and was like, so you're gonna apologize? You think?
Oh, right.
And he was like, I stand by, I'm the queen.
What a British thing.
And it was the same thing that you're questioning, so you don't believe that she had some mental health issues and you don't believe that there is ever some racism, and then he's like, I stand by.
I mean, also, first of all,
but he's not losing sponsorships. That's the whole thing. Rush Limbaugh didn't lose, at one point in his life. But, it takes a lot to bring down a man. You basically have to remove all of their advertisers, take away their money-making power.
And he's the one who said, I'm just going to pop up on another thing, right? He was like, who cares? Yeah. I'm just going to I'll just be on another network. Which is an insane thing to feel the power that you can say whatever you want. And there's literally, don't worry, I'll be back. Don't worry. It doesn't, I can literally say, not me, a man, this kind of man, can say whatever they want, and there will still be an open door for him. And women put everything on the line.
Yeah. I'm like, you don't hear a woman like this. Like, that's the thing. We only have male examples, because there's not a female equivalent to any of these men.
No, Tommy Lahren was the only one I could think of. And like you said, she got canceled for whatever she thought about abortion or whatever. And it's just, it's not the same.
Yeah.
it's not the same.
No, this is an example of, like, this is what's happening in today. Like, it's happening right now. So, like, there are people who I know, like, you know, like, people think a women's issue, one, that this is a women's issue, just a mm-hmm. women's issue. Mm-hmm. They don't see how it affects everybody down mm-hmm. the line. But they also think that it just ended with me too. That, like, okay, mm-hmm. we've called attention to it now. And so, like, mm-hmm. we're good now. And it's like, no, and it's yet, still
here. Here we are.
Yeah, here we are in a closet podcast recording. Like, what the hell? This is still happening.
Yeah. And even just like you said, the Me Too has passed. And yet we still have this thing with the mayor of New York where it's still taking how many women, you know? And that's just not. I mean, I have a lot of room in my life for accepting gray areas, but this is to me pretty black and white of just believe people, you know? And I don't, like, what I told Janet before we recorded this podcast is I don't understand it. I do not understand where this, you know, idea that somehow what a woman says isn't worth the same as a man or isn't believed as equally as a man. And again, not in all cases, you know, but here we are, we're seeing the most famous voices and it's happening to them. And right. if you see that happening to the most famous people, you better believe it's happening to women in general, in the workplace, women whose names you never heard of.
Exactly.
You know, and because we're seeing it live. We're seeing it right on our television screens, you know, making headlines across the world with Meghan Markle, you know
yeah.
what I mean? And so, yeah, it's happening to, you know, the women in your life as well. And I think some women have become so accustomed to this that they don't even recognize it sometimes. And that's, yeah, I think, where Janet was a little yeah. frustrated of, like, yeah. come on, girls.
well, it's scary. Yeah, it's scary because, like, mm-hmm. you know, I think where this is going to lead right into, you know, perfect clothing and stuff, because mm-hmm. the consequences of not paying attention, the consequences of not caring, the consequences of not wanting to get involved, there are consequences.
Right.
And
right.
what can happen is, you know, this might be what might feel like an extreme to some people when we say this mm-hmm. is like The Handmaid's Tale. Anybody that has watched The Handmaid's Tale, like, it's uncomfortable because you see the what happens to women mm-hmm. in, like, you know, quote unquote modern times when they are silenced.
Yeah.
And so, really, Sage, if you want to wrap this up so you can talk about where we're going to go with this, like,
this topic got us really fired up. And so next week we are going to be tackling the question, are we living in The Handmaid's Tale?
Are we? Is this the buildup?
Are we living in The Handmaid's Tale? If you haven't already seen the show, I do highly recommend. And if not, after next week's episode, you are going to be definitely wanting to check it out.
Yes. And the new season, well, part of this is too, because, like, the new season is coming out at the end of April. So now's the perfect time to catch up and stuff. But we will give you, yeah, like Sage said, you're going to want to at least know the basics for next week's episode. We'll give a little bit about it and stuff. But so that's going to be next week. In the meantime, please subscribe to all of our podcast stations. You can now listen to us on Spotify, Google, Apple, everywhere that you listen to podcasts, we are now available. So please review and subscribe. And as always, come back to our social channels at Florida Grown Femmes on Facebook and Instagram and share your comments and feedback on this week's episode.
Yeah, ladies, I want to hear if this has happened to you. That's yes. what I want to hear. Let us know.
Yeah, let's hear your stories. Until next time.
See you then.